Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you had a fabulous 4th of July. I hope you celebrated with fireworks and pie and all the fun picnics and things. But we are back, and today we are digging into somewhere that would be beautiful to go in the month of July, and that is Alaska. We're going to be joined by our friend Betsy, who is an expert. She's a native of Alaska, and she's an expert in Alaska Airlines.
Yeah, Betsy is a wealth of information on all things Alaska. Not only are we going to discuss Alaska Airlines, how to earn the points, how to earn the status, but we're also going to talk about some real sweet spot redemptions that she's going to be taking in the upcoming year. We dive into a little bit of Alaska tourism, and she tells us a little about a group trip that she's hosting to Bali, which her ticket to Bali was also booked on Alaska Airline miles, which really blew my mind. So this episode is chock full. And if you're like us, you might not know a lot about Alaska. So this is your moment. You guys are going to love her. She is fascinating. She has such a cool story. Cannot wait for you to hear this interview.
Oh my gosh, guys. Truly, when she says that this woman has a cool story, we're talking, she is so strong. This woman was working in the Alaska oil fields. I am still not over this. She's going to tell us more about it, but I can't wait for you guys to hear it. It was amazing to me.
Yeah, such a boss babe. And I was like, how do I follow you on Instagram? But I don't know this about you. Like, I feel like I need to now rabbit hole her content and just go through everything. I want all the stories. She's fascinating. She's delightful. She's so sweet. I'm just mad that we were both at wits and I didn't realize it. So I didn't get to meet her in person yet. It's going to happen. I'm putting it out there. So I feel like we should just get right into it. What do you think?
Yeah. And if you have a trip to Alaska coming up, and even if you booked on a different airline, you guys are going to want to listen to this episode because she talks about a coupon book, and I'm not going to spoil it. She talks about a coupon book that will save so much money on your trip. You're definitely going to want to hear it. So tune in for the whole episode, because if you're going to Alaska or you just want to learn about Alaska Airlines, this is the episode for you.
It sure is. All right, let's get right into it.
Today we have a friend joining us all the way from the gorgeous state of Alaska. Betsy is here. You can find her on Instagram at Her Alaska Travels. And appropriately, she is an expert on Alaska Airlines, and she is going to help us dig in and understand why people who do not live in Alaska should also really be invested in the Alaska Airlines program, because it has benefit for us all. So welcome, Betsy. Tell us a little bit about yourself as we get going here.
Awesome. Hi, ladies. Thank you for having me all the way from Alaska. I am so excited to be interviewing with you guys and telling you guys about Alaska Airlines. But I started traveling when I was really little, 5 years old, did the whole unaccompanied minor, and loved traveling my entire life. My point journey started when I became a mother, and I was like, I have to figure a way to keep traveling like I have been traveling as a mother when things are going to get more expensive. I'm going to need more amenities. I'm going to need more flights, all that. So I really dove in like 2022 hardcore, and have like not taken the foot off the throttle since.
That's awesome. I have to go back though. Did you say 5 years old, unaccompanied minor?
Yes, that's when you can start traveling by yourself, actually. Unaccompanied minor starts at 5 years old.
Okay. I went on a plane by myself as a preteen to go from St. Louis to Georgia. And I thought that was crazy that my parents even let me do that. I can't remember exactly how old I was, but I don't think I was even 14 yet. And that sounded so young to me. Like, where did you go? And how does that work? I mean, they have to – like give you to somebody, right? Like how does, I guess back then security stuff was different too.
Oh my gosh, the 90s were wild.
Yeah, so different.
So wild. So free.
You could just walk your friend to the gate and watch them take off. I remember that. Those were the days.
I do too. That's actually how Alaska's airport was up until like even like middle school. It was like an airport where you walk them to the gate or you welcome them at the gate. Not anymore. You do have TSA security. But when I was 5, my parents were split and my dad lived in Oregon. My mom lived in Alaska. And the rotation was 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. So I ended up flying. I didn't go to kindergarten. And I flew 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off with that rotation until I started school and they figured out the custody or whatever.
Wow. As a person who has been through the week on, week off divorce custody schedule with my own daughter, my head is exploding at just the amount of things that have to come into play to put your kid on an airplane every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. That is so crazy. But I love that they did that for you. They were like, this is so important that you are getting your time with both parents that we're going to do whatever we have to do. I love it. It makes my heart happy. But also, like, you were an expert traveler by, like, 6 years old.
I was. I mean, actually, I tell people this all the time. Like, unaccompanied minor is probably, like, the best travel experiences I've had because it was just so attentive. I had a kids area that was similar to a lounge, a buffet of food, a ton of places to play, a bookshelf with books. Like, it was a kids area.
Wow, who knew?
Right, that I was literally just going to in between my layovers. And so I remember specifically Salt Lake City having like the best kids area when I would go. My mom ended up moving to the East Coast, so I was traveling through Salt Lake City. And they just had like this just really colorful, well-done kids club. And it was some of the best traveling I've ever had.
Oh my gosh. Do they still do that? Are there still kids areas? Can you still just like in this day and age just stick your 5-year-old on a plane? I don't know.
I think you can. I think I've researched it. I will never do that personally. I just know, you know, too much now about the world. But I have seen the kids area, just a glimpse of it next to the Alaska Lounge. I don't know if we should be saying where the kids are at, but like it's next to the Alaska Lounge in SeaTac, but it's like in a separate lounge area.
I'm sure they have it very locked down. I'm sure not anybody can just like walk in there. So, wow. It's okay. Sorry for derailing us so hard there, but I had to know.
I know. I understand. About that.
Let's refocus back to Alaska because I have to say, I think for Mary Ellen and I think we know nothing about Alaska Airlines. I think the kind of the depth of my knowledge is just what I see on your page because okay. It's just not something that comes up as much in the Midwest or on the East Coast. But I do know that when I'm doing searching of places that I want to go, I regularly see great points deals come up on Alaska. So I'm super, super curious about just the entire world of Alaska. Maybe start us at the beginning. Give me your spiel on Alaska.
Ooh, okay. Well, Alaska points are so valuable for so many reasons. I mean, the most popular reason is the One World Alliance. So there's multiple airlines you can use those Alaska airline points on. Another factor that comes into why Alaska airline points are so valuable is because before, like 2 months ago, they didn't have any transfer partners except Marriott, but Marriott transfer bonus was like, so it was, you know, less competitive for those award seats on Alaska Airlines.
Okay.
They since have established a partnership with Bilt. So yeah. you can get Alaska Airline points through Bilt. But that still is only one transfer partner versus, you know, whereas other airlines have multiple credit cards that tie to their miles, their points and miles. So Yeah, that's really one of the two reasons that they're so valuable. And I've been flying with Alaska since I was 5, 26 years. I've pretty much abused Alaska my entire travel career. I've had status with them. I think this year is 11 years.
Wow.
It's always been really great. They're just really good about their customer satisfaction. So, and it's honestly, it's the best airline to fly out in and out of Alaska most of the time,
right?
Just because of the large amount of flights that they have. We do have Delta, we do have United, we do have American. It's just, they have a lot of more presence coming in and out of Anchorage and Fairbanks.
That makes a lot of sense, for especially for flying in and out of Alaska. Do you feel like Alaska or its partners have a pretty good domestic footprint in terms of other places that you want to go? Where do you like to fly regularly on Alaska?
Okay, so that's a really great question. The majority of time I'm leaving Alaska, I'm going to say a lot of the time leaving Alaska, I'm going to go see family. So we fly to Arizona. We fly to California. We fly to New York. I just got home from New York yesterday. And of course, I took Alaska. And I've taken Alaska to New York. This yesterday was the 8th trip. So it was 16
wow.
back and forth. And so we'll go from Anchorage, where we're at, to Seattle or to San Diego. I've actually been favoring the San Diego route. It is a little bit longer flight time. However, SeaTac has been hot mess. So I have been favoring that when I can find it, either aligning with our schedule or it's, you know, of course, a better deal, because it really is all about the deal and how, you know, you can maximize every single dollar. But so yesterday we flew home from JFK. It was JFK, Seattle, Seattle to Anchorage.
What does that redemption look like from JFK to Seattle? So if someone on the East Coast didn't want to go to Alaska, maybe they just wanted to get up to Seattle or the Pacific Northwest, do some national parks or explore up there. What kind of redemption is that points wise?
12.5 is what I'm seeing. 12,500 one way.
Round trip, that's 25, great.
25,000. Mm-hmm.
I mean, for such a long flight, a long distance, that sounds like a great redemption. Talk us through points earning, because I think one of your big things is that you can earn Alaska points without even using the credit card. On Instagram, it said you earned 220,000 miles in 2023 with no credit card spend. That's just, what is that? Well, talk us through that.
With no Alaska Airlines credit card spend.
Yes, thank you for clarifying. Yes, that is what I meant. Without the co-branded card.
Right. Yeah. No, there is. I really dug in deep because I was traditional before 2022. I was traditionally just using the Alaska Airlines credit card flying to get those miles. And so I really dug into their partner programs and then also just really researched their policies. Really, that's where I'm earning a lot of extra miles, like that baggage guarantee, where they have to have your bag at 20 minutes. I really tapped in on that and earned about, I did 45,000 miles with that baggage guarantee. And so I was really, really good on the strategy too. It's each person who flies. So I made sure if I had two bags, it's me and my daughter. We're checking one on my daughter's, we're checking one on mine. So that way when they're both late, we're both getting that 2,500 miles. I also would, some areas will add them to your account just automatically. Some will offer a certificate. So I was given like a paper certificate, or I actually asked for that now instead of just being added to my account. So I can take that certificate and add it to one account, which is most valuable, because then I can stack those miles in one account in order to make those redemptions.
I love that. So they have 10 minutes. Is that right? From the time you 20. Land? 20 minutes.
So it's from the time that they open up the jetway door. So I actually set a timer every single time. From the moment they open up the door. And then the key is there's only that like 3 to 5 minute window, right? So if you're not there at the 20 minutes and you're there at 25 minutes and your bags are out, you'll never know if they were late.
Yeah.
So it's a priority for me to set the timer and then get down to the baggage at the carousel at 20 minutes and they're not there, that's when I'm literally walking away from the baggage claim and going straight to the agent with, this is 20 minutes. And they rarely do her hesitant about it. I mean, Alaska Airlines is a very generous airline when it comes to like customer satisfaction.
That's awesome. And you would think because it's points, it would be easier for them to part with than if they had to give you actual cash. I mean, for them, that probably feels limitless.
So I hear what you're saying, but you have the option of doing $25 or 2,500 miles.
And wow.
I will never do the $25.
No way.
Thank you. Some people are like, $25. I'm like, no, 2,500 miles can be more than $25 a lot of days, all days. Almost every time I make a redemption, 2,500 miles is going to be somewhere around $75 in the value. So,
absolutely.
A thing to consider, the 2,500 miles did not expire. The $25 expires 1 year from the date. Also, you can't use that $25 certificate with any other certificate. So if you use the companion fare, you can't add $25 off of your... So it's really okay to have the $25, but 2,500 miles, just like, that's it. Like, that's what I recommend.
100%.
That is so cool. We're going to dig into what you said because you mentioned the word companion fare and we love that around here. But before we get into that, I want to finish talking about ways that you earned miles besides just traditional credit card spending. So we have the luggage. That's a really fun hack that you can do. What else? I know there's some stuff with grocery stores and Safeways.
Yeah, so there's one more before I want to get into that one because that is the gold mine. However, the second way that I earn lots of miles is maintaining my status with Alaska Airlines, because as of this year, I've just flew to JFK and back. I earned with the status MVP gold, which is the second tier, I earned double the miles. So that trip round trip is a little over 15,000 miles that I get. So I'm purchasing that ticket and then I'm getting 15,000 miles when I'm flying. So wow. That's like money back, basically, is how I see it. It's cash back. And so that's the second best way that I was able to earn the miles. And I actually flew just the minimum for MVP gold last year, which was 40,000. And so that's double. So I earned 80,000 miles just by flying.
Wow. But those do have to be cash fares, right? Not points bookings to earn those miles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So, and that's a whole nother level because I'm basically tracking or I'm looking for flights that are low value, high, like long flights. And so the tickets that we got to New York just now, I used the companion fare and my daughter and I flew to New York round trip for under $800. So it was basically four tickets, $800. And then we also earned all the miles on top of that.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds worth it for sure. So I guess we've reached the gold mine and you'll have to tell me if the gold mine works for people that don't have Safeways, because I'm going to be a little crushed if there's no workaround for me to do anything with this because there's not Safeway in Missouri.
Oh, so theoretically, no, they do say in the fine print that, you can't redeem your Alaska Airlines miles or you can't redeem your Safeway points for Alaska Airlines miles if you're not Alaska resident. I just learned this recently. However, I do have people who are in the States shopping at Albertsons, and that's a partner of Safeway, and then just logging into the Safeway app to redeem those points. It is at the risk of them shutting your account down. So
yeah.
It is against the policy. However, like I said, I do have people who are earning those miles and theoretically, if you're burning those miles, like using them for a flight, so you're earning them, using them for a flight, there's technically no way that they can retroact them. They would just essentially be like, you've gone against the rules. You have to close your account. So
good to know. Proceed with caution. Proceed at your own risk. But tell us how people who live in the Safeway zone can capitalize on this.
Yeah. So you buy your groceries, Safeway has a program, you earn 1 point per dollar that you spend on groceries, and then those points can be redeemed for certain tiers of Alaska Airlines miles all the way up to 1,300 miles per redemption. So there's six different categories. They range from 100 points to 700 points of Safeway miles that can be redeemed for Alaska Airlines miles. I won't go through all six of the categories, but the largest one is 700 points. So that would be theoretically $700 in groceries equals 1,300 Alaska Airlines miles, which doesn't sound that great, but Safeway also offers two times the points on every gift card that you purchase at Safeway. So this is where the gold mine comes in. So I've basically tapped in and I buy all of my Amazon, Target, et cetera, anything that I can find that I would use my fuel cards. I'll buy at Safeway, get two times the points, and then I'll stack those points and earn Alaska Airlines miles for the money I'm spending.
Yeah. And I mean, it sounds valuable in that no other cards besides Bilt are going to get you those Alaska points, and people's grocery bills are their biggest bill. You're going to be, besides rent or mortgages or whatever, but you're going to be spending so much money at the grocery store already. If you can capitalize on that and then do the Amazon, Target, all that stuff on top of that, that sounds great. Yeah. I've considered getting Bilt just to pay my rent with it to try to potentially earn some Alaska points. But I want to make sure first that it's like, you know, that I have flights or routes that I'm targeting before I decide to go down that. Do you have the Bilt card? Is that something you're familiar with?
Yeah, so familiar. So in love with it. I just think it's so fun. There's another generous program, right? So like every month there's a game, there's a points game where you can earn, you do trivia and you earn points. So those points are another way to earn points that you can transfer to I can't keep track of how many transfer partners they have. They keep adding them. And it's fun in the way that even just adding that account, like any account that they have as a transfer partner to your Bilt card, they give you 100 points. And so it automatically, awesome. When I signed up, I earned 1,100 points because I just added all of my loyalty programs to the Bilt.
That's so awesome.
And then each month you play the trivia game and you can earn up to 250 points per month if you get all the answers.
I am terrible at trivia. I do not think that would go very well for me. But I know, I mean, the only thing I do with Bilt right now is I have my Lyft account linked to it. So, but even that is a pretty generous amount of points per dollar when you spend on the linked account. So I don't think we've actually had anybody on that's had the Bilt card. There's no sign up bonus for that, right?
No sign up bonus,
but it just comes with perks.
And then of course the rent situation is very, very easy, right? So you just put in your landlord's information. They send a check to your landlord. It's a real check and they can go and put it in their bank and then you earn those points. It's very simple.
Yeah. And then I think at the beginning of the year, they offer like some crazy transfer bonuses. Is that correct?
Yeah, they do. I can't remember exactly which one it was this year, but they do. Oh, it was Virgin Atlantic, which is very common transfer bonus, but it's a heavy one. So you get a lot of points when you transfer. They also did one for Hawaiian Airlines, which was not this past year, but the year before.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Bilt, you're killing me. I need Bilt in my life, but I'm not a renter. I pay a mortgage and I'm dying. I've heard whispers of them trying to get where you can pay your mortgages, and I'm just holding out hope that when they have that breakthrough, they're going to offer some big, wonderful thing, and I'm going to be able to capitalize. This is in my mind. Who knows what will happen? But Bilt people, please, we want Bilt. I know they're working hard on it. Yeah. Back to Alaska Airlines. What about, tell us, the companion pass? We love our Southwest companion passes down here. So tell me about that opportunity with Alaska and what companion fare they have.
Yeah, they have a companion fare with their credit card. I'm not so familiar if I can compare it to Southwest because I'm not familiar with that one as much. But the companion fare comes with the co-branded credit card through the Bank of America. The annual fee for the card is $99 a year. And for $99 every year, you can add a companion to one reservation. I always recommend that be a round trip ticket, even if you're not going to be flying round trip, which we'll get into in just a second. So it's $99 plus taxes and fees, usually comes out to be $121-ish, depending on the airport situation, but average is like 121 with the taxes and fees. And so that companion will be added to your trip for that amount, and they will just, you know, that's what you'll pay, and that'll be a cash value ticket, which means you earn the points when, or you earn the miles when you're traveling on that flight.
Okay, once a year you can have a trip with a companion, and no matter mm-hmm. the cost of their ticket, like if you were going from Alaska to, you know, JFK in New York City, you would pay $121 for that companion.
Yes. Yes. And that's really where it's most valuable is like the high dollar tickets that you just can't get around. So like New York, we fly to New York during Christmas. And so it's always outrageously priced. It's thousand plus dollars round trip. And, or when we try to go to Hawaii during a time last minute, that's a good opportunity to use it because the tickets are outrageous again. So that's the best time to use it when the dollar amount of the round trip ticket is really high. So that's one of my strategies. My second strategy is using it on, you can use it. So in this case that I went to JFK this past week, we paid for my ticket was around $600-ish. Can't remember the exact numbers, but adding my daughter on with the companion fare, we both flew to New York on cash tickets, which when we both earn the miles on that long flight, which again, getting those miles back is really part of the value.
That makes sense. So that's why you do the round trip. Also, first of all, just I guess for the value in general of getting the most dollar amount for that companion pass, but then also for the maximum amount of miles because you're booking cash for that original person. Can you use the companion fare if the first ticket is on points or no? It has to be cash.
Yep. Okay. It's only going to be, you cannot pair it with any kind of points and miles or any other certificate that they have offered you, which is kind of tricky. And a lot of people, what I run into with a lot of my students is that they're finding it really hard to use the companion fare because either they're having a great sale or, you know, it's just they have points and miles and they want to pair it with that flight for that trip. I always do recommend that my students use it for a round trip, even if they are going to use points and miles on one of the legs, because they can always, whereas you can't change the names, you cannot change the passengers. Once you book it for those people are attached to those tickets. They cannot be changed. If you can't decide to cancel, you forfeit the companion fare and you only return, you only get the money back into your wallet, which is kind of tricky.
Yeah,
it is kind of tricky. But you really just want to pair it with somebody who you're never going to travel with, your kid, your husband, your sister, you know, somebody that you know you'll travel with, because of course with Alaska Airlines, we have no change fees. So you can change that ticket many times. I have one that I have been changing since 2022. Don't change this, Alaska Airlines. So I mean, me and my husband have a ticket that we can fly to New York, and it'll always hold the value of that companion fare one way. So I just keep changing it because we haven't been able to go at the same time, but I was able to get the ticket returned home at one point for like, you know, points and miles. So I booked that round trip ticket with the companion fare. I'm just holding on to that value. And I just keep changing it.
So it doesn't expire. That companion fare for 2022, you're still changing it forward and it's still good, even though it's 2 years later.
Yeah, I don't know if they haven't caught on.
Knock on wood.
As I'm saying, Alaska Airlines, please, don't change this for us, because it is like a great way to utilize every dollar of that companion fare, because a lot of people in here, we're doing points and miles. Like we're maximizing every dollar we can. And so the Alaska Airlines companion fare, I always say just book it round trip. And then if you are going to plan on using points and miles for a leg of the trip, to just take that portion of the ticket and make a change to as far out as you possibly can that's within reason of the dollar amount of the ticket. And you can change the destination and the date, which is
nice. Okay. That is nice. Talk to us about the tiers of status and how many points or miles, I guess it's miles in this case, that you have to be earning in order to hit the different status levels, and then what the status gives you.
Yeah, so there's four levels right now. It's MVP, MVP Gold, 75K, and 100K. And so those are 20,000 miles for the first level MVP, 40,000 for the second level, which in my opinion is the sweet spot. MVP Gold is attainable and has enough perks where it feels valuable. Gold 75K is 75,000 miles and 100K is 100,000 miles. I will just plug in real quick. You don't have to fly that amount of miles in order to get the status. There's two ways outside of only flying on an airplane. One is with the Alaska Airlines credit card. Every $10,000 you spend, you get 4,000 EQMs. So you're spending $10,000 on your Alaska Airlines credit card. You're getting 4,000 EQMs up to 20,000. So technically, you could get MVP without flying through the Alaska Airlines credit card if you're maximizing that credit card.
Okay.
Benefits. Okay, benefits are good. I can't compare them to anything else because I haven't had status with anything else. However, so MVP status gets you upgrades, access to premium seating without paying on certain legs or flights. And for MVP Gold, where I say it's a sweet spot, we also get four, like what they called guest upgrades. So I can use those to get to first class, like above the waitlist line.
Oh.
And so we get four of those as MVP Gold. 75K will get eight of them. 100K will also get eight. And so that's really the main value. The value also, one more thing, is the bonus miles. So I was telling you guys, I earned 15,000 miles on the trip from Anchorage to JFK and JFK back. That's because I get double the miles. So it was like, I think it was, yeah, like 7,000 round trip.
Mm-hmm. So once you have that status, it's so much easier to maintain that status because of those double miles on your flights.
So the double miles are just to be used for award travel. They won't go towards what they call EQMs.
That does not go to our status at all. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we had an American episode earlier. So I think it's a little different with American Airlines. So
different.
Yeah. Like my mind is kind of spinning.
Can you earn the EQMs with the grocery store spending? Or those do not count for status, only for counting for purchasing mm-hmm. tickets on points. Okay.
Right. So the three ways to earn status right now are getting on the airplane, flying on an Alaska flight, spending that $10,000 for the 4,000 EQMs, or going on a partner, one of the One World Alliances, using the cash allowance or paying cash, and then using Alaska Airlines as the airline you want to redeem your points for.
Okay.
And also with that third one, if you purchase a higher class ticket, such as first class or business class, you'll earn anywhere from double the EQMs, or like either 100% EQMs, 150% EQMs, or 200 EQMs. So meaning that, like, if you were to get a first class ticket from Anchorage to Frankfurt, which is where we're going in August, I think I want to say that was like 4,000 miles. Thank you. I would have purchased that ticket with money and used Alaska Airlines for my, for what I want to redeem for miles, then I would be getting 8,000 EQMs because it's 200%. Okay. So that would be the other way to earn Alaska status, is go on the partner airlines and use Alaska as the one that you want to redeem them, like you want to earn the miles for.
Awesome.
And I want to remind everybody who is in the One World Alliance.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. I love it when we're on the same wavelength. Go.
So we have American Airlines, British Airways, Cathay Pacific, Finnair, Iberia, Japan Airlines, Malaysia Airlines, Qantas, Qatar. We have Royal Jordanian, we have Royal Air Maroc, and Sri Lankan Airways, Fiji Airways, Oman Air. So that's all in the One World Alliance. So we, like Joe mentioned, we recently had an American Airlines episode, kind of a deep dive there, and now with Alaska, all within the One World team. So who did you mention that you're flying to Frankfurt? You booked through Alaska, or did you book through one of the other partner airlines?
So I'm really glad you mentioned that, because you just made me correct myself. I'm flying on Condor. So Condor is not one part of the One World Alliance. However, it's a partner of Alaska Airlines. So I was able to use my Alaska Airlines miles to book that flight.
Cool.
So I would, yeah, so I would have to, like, I'm flying on Qatar home from Bali in September. If I would have paid for that flight, I could use Alaska Airlines as, like, the airline I want to redeem the miles for. And I would also earn EQMs, the elite qualifying miles.
Do you know off the top of your head the list of partner airlines? Because that's different than...
There's 30 of them.
Holy cow. All right. But that's different than the One World Alliance, right? The partner airlines are its own thing.
And really that just is... those are just valuable because you can use your Alaska Airline miles to book those flights on those airlines.
I think that's one of the massive benefits of Alaska is just how many partner airlines you guys have.
So the partners, different than the Alliance, the partners are Aer Lingus, Air Tahiti, Condor, Israel Airlines, Hainan Airlines, Iceland Air, Korea Air, LATAM. I'm not sure if you're supposed to say that or read the letters. They're all capitalized, so I read them. Raven Alaska, is that what that is? I've never even heard of that. Raven is spelled weird. Singapore Airlines and then Starlux Airlines. And those were the earn and redeem partners. And then there's an entire list of earn partners, which I guess is different. I'm like, my head is, I am the emoji with the exploding head. I'm going to link this AlaskaAir.com page in the show notes so you guys can go browse the partners themselves. But there's so many, and there's amazing, it's amazing how many airlines I have not heard of when I thought I knew them all.
Before we dive back into the heart of today's episode, we want to hear from you. Do you have any questions about travel, credit cards, or anything else that we've covered on a podcast episode? We are here to help.
Go ahead and reach out to us at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com with any of your questions, thoughts, or even just to say hello. We absolutely love connecting with our listeners, and your inquiries could be featured on future episodes.
If you're looking to maximize your credit card strategy for travel rewards, take advantage of our free credit card consultation. Whether you are a seasoned points collector or you're just starting your journey, we're here to provide personalized advice to elevate your travel experience.
All you have to do is shoot us an email, again, at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com, and go ahead and throw in the subject line credit card consultation, and let's start a conversation about how you can unlock the full potential of credit cards for your next adventure.
We absolutely love hearing from our Wonderland on Points community, and we are so excited to connect with you. Okay, let's get back to the show. So we've just gone through the list of partners, the One World Alliance plus extra partners. Which ones of those have some sweet spots or some good ways to redeem points? Which give you good value?
Yeah, absolutely. So in my opinion, Alaska Airlines miles are most valuable for these partner programs. And so a few of the ones that I'm doing this year that I have already purchased and we're planning on going is Anchorage to Frankfurt, which is a direct flight, which is amazing for a mom like me. I'm cool with just flying there and getting off the plane. And that was $25,000 each way. So it was $50,000 round trip for, you know, one for me and then one for my daughter. I was able to get us upgraded with my Alaska Airline miles. And so we're in the business class seats for $55,000 each. So it'll
That's
be
incredible.
Us flying. It really is. So we're going to be on Condor's newest airplanes, too. They have been coming in. I've been seeing some pictures of them. They're brand new. I'm so excited.
That is just going to be a treat. I mean, nonstop and upgraded to business class. That's going to be divine. Your daughter is going to love that so much.
I think I'm going to love it more because I hope she sleeps.
True.
How old is she?
Two.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
You're like, nap time.
Yeah. Yeah. Have some, all the snacks you want and then sleep.
Yes.
And then, so we're going to Frankfurt in August and then I'm going to Bali. I'm hosting a group trip in Bali and I've got my tickets with Alaska Airline miles from Anchorage to Bali. I was able to get tickets for 30,000 Alaska Airline miles.
Stop it right now. Because yeah. I was just helping our dear friend of the pod, Mandy Brooks, look for tickets for her Bali trip that she's hosting. And it was wild. I had no idea the cost and the distance associated with getting to Bali. And it was, first of all, she paid cash because she's just getting into the points and miles game. But it was expensive. And $30,000 is crazy.
Yeah, those cash, the cash value of that ticket was $1,600 one way. Yeah. So it was, yeah. And the flying in and out of Alaska is never, ever like cheap unless there's like a super good sale and it's like 3 days and you got to get them like, you know, right then and there. But so that was 30,000 miles to Bali, and then back from Bali to Alaska was 30,000. So,
that's
and
crazy.
Somewhere around like $180 in taxes and fees. So, yeah.
That's insane. That is so exciting.
There are some times that I'm really sad that I don't live on the West Coast for accessing some of these amazing destinations, that it's just easier traveling from the West Coast. I mean, what a steal.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because so in the middle of my trip to Germany, my family lives in Germany, so I'm leaving my daughter there, and then my best friend's getting married in Vegas, so I am flying with Alaska Airlines miles from direct from Frankfurt to Vegas with Alaska Airlines miles for 25,000.
Oh my gosh.
So from Frankfurt to Las Vegas direct is back on Condor.
Okay, and that was 25,000 points, you said?
Yeah, 25,000 points.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. And because you have status, is that like potential, do you get on the upgrade list for free upgrades the way other airlines do, or do you have to pay for those upgrades?
Only on the Alliance.
Gotcha. Okay.
In the Alliance, my status will be honored.
I see. Okay. But not on the partners. I am starting to get it. It's all starting to click in my head. Hopefully our listeners are also starting to catch on a little, because I mean, that's such, even just for an economy ticket, like 25,000 to go that distance is crazy. So
right.
That's amazing. You have some exciting trips coming up.
I know I do. Thank you so much. And so, and for the East Coasters, I was able to get, so I'm going back to Germany for Christmas time. And so from JFK to Frankfurt with a stopover in Dublin, 27.5, so 27,500 miles per, you know, one way for each of us, and $21 in taxes and fees, which I love it when it's just like simple, you know, just like 20 bucks.
And the low taxes, that's the real gem.
Girls, we paid a lot of taxes to come back to the USA. And that one's through Aer Lingus.
Well, that's an incredible deal, though. And I can't believe, once again, that is Alaska. That's Alaska miles. Like, I feel like that Bilt card, I feel a little bit more compelled to get it now. And am I wrong? Does the Bilt card earn a multiplier on rent? Because I feel like when we had Kelly Points and Miles Doc on, I swear she said it's not just 1 point per $1. I thought it was more.
They have a promotion right now with Alaska Airlines, and I don't know the full details on when it ends, but it is 3 times the point per dollar of rent. So it's up to 150,000 miles per year. So, right.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
$50,000 of rent could equal 150,000 Alaska Airlines miles until the promotion is up. I'm not sure when the promotion is going to be up.
That's
Bill,
crazy.
You're killing me. I'm about to sell my
Mary
house.
Ellen.
Start renting just so I can earn some miles.
Knowing my luck, I would get the card and then the promotion would immediately end and I would have just missed out on like the last 6 months of 3 times points on my rent. That is the one pain point in my entire life. I have a multiplier on pretty much every single thing that I buy except for the rent. I don't know why. I guess I've just been doing all the Chase cards, and what we've learned recently is certain banks do not like when you have a lot of inquiries. Like the Barclays card when I was trying to get that. So I guess I need to do some research on the Bilt card and see if they have anything that they get picky about when they're approving you for stuff.
Yeah, I'd like to know too. I did get the bill card when it first came out. So I had, it really were no rules. I feel like it was like they just wanted to give those cards out as much
like
as possible.
candy.
So, And so I will say though that that promotion with Alaska Airlines just started. So I'm guessing it's going to be a little while because they do want to give people, you know, a good amount of time. They did say up to 150,000 miles per year.
Before we leave Alaska Airlines altogether, because I want to ask some general questions about Alaska too. I can't talk to someone who lives in Alaska and not get a couple recommendations. But before we do, what is Alaska Tour Saver?
This guy?
Oh, beautiful.
Ooh, what is that? Show the people, for those who are listening.
So yes. This is a coupon book that we have in Alaska, and it is available to anyone in the lower 48. It is full with over $10,000 in coupons for activities all around Alaska. There's a gentleman named Scott with Alaska Travelgram who's been doing points and miles for a very long time, and he works for our local news, and he started this book, I think, 4 years ago. It's amazing. It literally, any activity that you want to do all around the state is in this book. And it's a lot of like buy one, get one free or entrance in, during this time. But the biggest advantage of this book is the Alaska Airlines coupon. So there is one coupon for Alaska Airlines. And it is 20% off up to 4 people's tickets from the beginning of the year when they come out with this book to August 9th. And so you can save up to $1,000 coming to Alaska during the summer getting this book by buying the book. The book is $100.
Okay.
So 4 people coming to Alaska in the summertime would definitely take a lot of value of this if they're coming from somewhere where it might be more expensive, specifically smaller towns. Cause I feel like the smaller towns, when you fly out of Alaska, it gets more expensive.
Yes.
Flying in and out of Alaska, in the summertime is always going to be a lot of money. Like it's always has been, always will be. All the flights are booked. I flew home from, you know, I flew through Seattle yesterday. The whole flight was booked with people coming to Alaska. So this is a really good tool to save a lot of money if you have like a family or a group of friends coming to Alaska.
Yes, because realistically, you just need one, right? Because since the coupon's for 4 people, yeah. We're going to link up the website that you just mentioned, this man, so that everybody can go check that out and, you know, get themselves a coupon book. I love a coupon book.
This
one's great. It has a lot, and it's really well done at each section of Alaska. We have a huge state, right? So each section is labeled before – it's labeled in sections and then alphabetized. It's really well done. Scott did a great job, and this has been a really great tool for Alaskans and other people to get to the state during the summertime.
That's amazing. Well, Mary Ellen is right. We have to switch gears and talk just about Alaska in general as a place. I think that it's kind of a bucket list destination for a lot of people, but I feel like it doesn't happen for a lot of people. I don't think I can think of a single person in my life that I know who has physically been to Alaska. We know that Ryan, friend of the pod, Ryan just went on his honeymoon, a cruise to Alaska, and that looked absolutely incredible. But tell us more about it, more than just what people think of, which is just those kind of cold water cruises and, you know, the ice and all that kind of stuff. Like, tell us what you love about it and what you think are the hidden gems that people should go visit.
Sure. And I love this question. It was one of the toughest questions you guys gave me because Alaska, I've been here my entire life. So I've been all around Alaska. I've lived in multiple spots and there's just so much beauty. I always just want to start out and recommend that if somebody's coming to Alaska, please just give yourself 10 days to 2 weeks. Like just really carve out some time if you're going to make the trek up here to give yourself enough time to really enjoy, relax. I mean, it's really easy to get here and just be like, let's go to the next thing. Let's go on this adventure. Let's go on that adventure. And like, it's really important when you get here to just like kind of R&R and just appreciate like the energy from the mountains and the nature, the animals. We got it all. But if I were to recommend like a short, you know, a short itinerary, could definitely be like coming to flying into Anchorage and then going out of Anchorage, not spending much time. I mean, downtown Anchorage is beautiful. They've done a great job. The museum is like one of my favorite spots, and I 10 out of 10 recommend everybody to come to it. It's beautiful. You feel like you're in another state, really, because it's just beautiful. It's new and they did a great job, and it's great for kids too. They have an amazing kids area where kids can touch everything. They can touch animals. They can play with like science toys about volcanoes and sand and stars. It's really cool.
That's awesome.
But I would say to head down south if you had to pick and go to places like Girdwood, which is our ski town, but it's also beautiful during the summertime. And then head to Seward, which is like a little small fishing town. And it's gorgeous. I mean, we're surrounded by mountains wherever you go. So it's really cool. Seward, I just spent a few days. I had a friend come up for 4 days. Just not enough time, you guys. It's just not enough time.
Yeah.
We jetted down to Seward. We stayed one night on the beach surrounded by mountains in a little place called Miller's Landing. It's, you know, family owned. It's been here since I was born. And Seward is just like a great place to walk around. There's tons of shops. We're really, really proud of our coffee. So anywho, I would recommend heading south out of Anchorage. If I had to pick Seward, Kenai Peninsula, Cooper Landing, Homer, these are kind of like places on the peninsula south of Anchorage. However, it's just like, that is just one little small little nugget of Alaska. So giving yourself enough time to come to Alaska and really enjoy the beauty and the activities is, I think, the most valuable advice I could give.
Are these places that you recommend renting a car and driving to? Are there trains? Are we taking little planes?
Okay.
What are you recommending?
Yeah, so plenty of options. Definitely love the renting the car idea if you love to get out and explore. They do have a beautiful train ride from Anchorage to Seward, and it is gorgeous. It can kind of limit your time frame, which can be tricky, but renting a car, I would say, is the best option if you like want to get out and explore, and you will. There's like little areas, like little pull-offs where it's like, oh, I need to take a picture of that, or you see like a beluga whale, like, you know, jumping up over the water, and like you're like, oh, I need to, or the goats are on the mountain, like, you know, eating or like almost falling off, even though they don't fall off. They never do. They never fall off the mountain, but they look like they're gonna fall off the mountain. So yeah, I would say renting a car would.
I love that you say these things, just like I'm seeing a squirrel outside, or
you're
I'm
like,
seeing a dog,
it's
walking
the whale
down the street.
And the mountain goats, and it's just normal because I live in Alaska. I'm so jealous.
It really is. And I love when people come to visit, especially when I get to like be their tour guide or host, because it's like I'm reliving, you know, that like appreciation. And it really is just such an incredible place. I love raising my daughter here because it's really
so good.
It's authentic, and she's gonna be tough because it is tough to live here. Whether, you know, it's tough. The weather, it can test your capabilities and your sanity sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, maybe talk to us a little bit about the weather. Tell us. I think everybody just feels like Alaska's cold all the time, but tell us the seasons that are best to visit. And is Alaska cold all the time? I see green outside your window,
yeah.
So I'm thinking, warm enough for green.
Well, you know, that's relative, I think, because I have some friends who come and they're like, it's 60, 65 degrees and it's cold, but we're enjoying that weather. Like
that sounds great. It's
summertime, you know, and so it does get up like July. If there's somebody who doesn't like the cold, like July is the month to come up, and that's usually like your best bet for some warm t-shirt weather. You definitely might need just like a light windbreaker, because it does get windy in a lot of the places too, especially by the water where I was talking about in Seward. It's definitely going to be windy down there. But yeah, I would say it's not always cold, but it is cold a lot of the time. So, July would be like the best month when it's like optimal weather.
Excellent. Well, speaking of the warmth and wanting to get away to some warmth, You are hosting a group trip to Bali coming up soon. Tell everyone about that. How did you get into hosting a group trip?
So I have been part of a membership called Travel Boss Membership with Emily Cooper, and she's been amazing. She actually is the one who inspired me to sign up for a group trip. She hosts them and has been hosting them, and it's been a great way for her to connect with other women who love to travel and other travelers. My group is all women, and it's a mix of people I know who had been wanting to travel with me, and then some of their friends who are tagging along. So yeah, we're going to Bali. It's going to be 9 days, September, end of September. And it's just, it's all planned out. So it's like you pay the money and then you just show up and you're like, you're getting taken to the places you need to go. The activities are paid for. You really don't have any questions. You just come and you enjoy every moment of it, which...
That sounds perfection.
Yeah, that sounds like heaven.
I think so too. I think I'm going to go on a group trip. I'm actually, one of my bucket list goals is to go with the one girl wandering. She was a speaker at the WITS conference. And she is known for her group trips, and I would love to go on one of her trips and just do, like, have the same experience where I just like buy the ticket, pay the money, and just show up, and like I will be the travel princess.
100%. I think it's hard for us in the Points and Miles community because we're used to trying, at least me personally, I'm like, how can I spend the smallest amount out of pocket possible? And these group trips always are a lot more out of pocket because everything is done for you. I know that she had the Antarctica trip that I was, you know, salivating over. And then she also just did the one to France to go to the ball at Versailles. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't even look at this anymore. This is so great. And it is on my bucket list as well, just to be able to, you know what, set that money aside and then let someone else take the reins. I think as moms, we all need to let someone else take the reins just like one time.
At least. Just once. At least, honestly. That's kind of a dream for me. I do all the planning myself for our family, and my family just tags along and goes along with it. And so, wow, the dream would be to have that experience. But on the opposite end, I also love hosting. So I'm big on my community. I love traveling. I just came from New York. I made 5 new friends that I'm literally going to go back to New York and visit. And I just love the idea of creating like a community of women who are excited to go on the next trip. And like, we all go together and we have like these just like epic memories throughout our travel career. And so I'm really excited to build that with this first trip to Bali. I did the Trova trip, which was able to do a survey of all the places my friends and followers want to go. And they picked Bali. Bali was like the number one hotspot. And so I just ran with it. I've always wanted to go to Bali. I went to Australia and everybody in Australia had been to Bali. I was like, okay, so I have to go to Bali one day.
That's so crazy that you just go to Australia and it's just like a normal thing. Everybody goes to Bali because they live closer, I guess.
They do.
I'm assuming that's why.
Yeah.
Did I see on your Instagram that you recently made travel creating like your full-time job?
Yeah.
Did you quit your day job for this?
Yeah.
Talk to us just a little bit about that decision as we're wrapping up, because that is huge and transformative and I'm fascinated by it.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm really proud of it. So I'm happy to talk to you guys about it. And so my previous career before quitting was I worked in construction. I'm a heavy equipment operator. So I ran heavy equipment for 14 years. And I worked in Alaska's oil field, which is like a 2-hour flight north of where I am at now. And would do long hitches there. I would work from anywhere from like 2 weeks to, my longest hitch was 14 weeks. And so I would go away. And that was really hard to do as a mother. I did go away when she was just turned 2 to go build an ice road. And it was just not, it didn't sit right. It was great. It was a great experience. I lasted about 2 weeks and I was like, okay, I actually miss my kid and she's growing like crazy. So we're going to pivot. And so, which is really cool. I'd like to mention too that my husband surprised me on my birthday when my birthday was up there and he brought her up there, which is, kids do not come to the oil field. Like there's no kids up there. It's just work There's no fun. There's no activities. We work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. or vice versa, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And there's like, it's just work. It's an oil field. So she came to Prudhoe Bay, which is where I worked, and I worked and I got to show her off, and which was like, kind of like the solidified, like, okay, I feel better now. So I need to go back and pivot. So, And so I did take another job. I was part of a union. I took another job and I was just feeling the same like draw. I was missing, you know, like that motherhood has made me so much more feminine and more aware of who I am, like my self-worth. And that that wasn't really welcomed in that industry. So I was essentially kind of like coerced out because I was like, you know, feeling a lot more self-worth and self-confidence and like, you know, demanding the respect that I've always, always deserved. And so in April, I finally was just like, after, you know, expressing I needed all this and not getting the reciprocity from my industry, I was like, okay, this is my sign. So I washed my hands of it in April, and a week later I won a giveaway to go to WITS. So I knew it was like, I was like,
oh, that's awesome.
I knew it was, yeah, I won the giveaway a week before WITS. The Friday I quit my job, I'm sorry, Monday I quit my job. I won the giveaway on Friday, and then I was flying to WITS the next Thursday. And so I knew that it was what I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds like divine intervention to me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that.
And I've never felt more myself and more happy and just like sure of a situation. I've always been really outgoing, and that is, and I'm a hard worker. So that really paired well with working in construction. However, I hit a threshold with construction. I could not grow anymore unless I wanted to be a manager. And I don't want to be a manager. So I want to have fun with everybody. I don't really want to tell people that they have to do something that they don't want to do. And so I've been feeling really just 100% in definitely in the right place.
I love this for you. This is so exciting. I know that our listeners are all going to love you and they're all going to follow you and watch this journey as you're growing in this as your full-time thing, hosting group trips, teaching people Alaska Airlines stuff. And also, I mean, your stories are just so interesting. You should tell all your stories on Instagram. The 5-year-old story about getting on the plane, the oil fields. Mm-hmm. I want all of it. I'm just saying, I'm here for all the content.
Thank you.
So yes, you're welcome. Well, we are just so grateful to have you here today. Uh-huh. And we're going to link up all the stuff we mentioned and talked about. And I know you already shouted out Emily, and we'll tag her. Is there anybody else that you want to shout out? Any other creators in the Points of Miles space or the travel space that you really feel like our listeners should follow?
Yeah, I can just tie it into what you just said. You're saying that you want to hear the experience of working in the oil field, living in Alaska, being a woman who turns into a content creator. I just signed up for Alexa West, Solo Girl Travel, her write your book course. And
I love that.
So it just started last week. I'm so excited, but I think that her story aligns a lot with how I transitioned and really going after what you need and being completely yourself. And so, yeah, I'd love to shout her out. She's been a huge inspiration for me. I met her again at WITS, and I'm excited to like take her 10-week course on how to write your book. And then hopefully I can share that story with you.
That's amazing. That would be a book that I would absolutely read.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to spend with us. We're going to be watching you go to Frankfurt multiple times and Bali and keeping up with all the things. So thank you so much, Betsy.
Yeah, no, thank you guys. I love your show. I love the energy and all the information that you guys just generously give out to us.
Thank you so much. That is our goal. We want people to learn and we want them to hear everybody's stories from all these unique voices. So thank you for being one of those voices.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.